Brian Bergstrom, head coach of Winona State football, now joining the program in studio. Brian, thanks so much for the time. Thanks so much for coming in. Really appreciate it. I wanted to start off with the departure of offensive coordinator Isaac Frickte. To start off, I know you guys were close. Just, you know, what are your feelings, you know, when you learned that he was leaving? What were your feelings that you were going through, and what were your thoughts when this all happened?
Mm-hmm. Well, my first off, I truly enjoyed working with Coach Frickte for the first 2 years here, and he was my first hire, and he was my first hire for a reason, because he was going to be the most important. And with me leaning defensively, to hire somebody that could really be the head coach of offense. Mm. And he did a great job, and I knew it'd be hard to hang on to him forever because of the fact that he's a great young coach and a great person and husband and dad. And he had an opportunity to go to Division I and make a lot more money. So, real simply, I felt mixed at the time because I was so excited for him, you know, and sad for me at the same time. But it's part of the profession. It happens. And we're resilient as coaches, and our kids are resilient. And my promise to them is that we're going to hire the best fit for them, and their job's to keep working hard.
What was your sort of message to him as someone who's sort of been through the ranks that he's going through right now, and you've gotten the head coaching job, and I'm sure that's in his future as well? What was your message to him in terms of his career path?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's been a continual conversation. It wasn't just at the end. It's something that him and I have talked about the whole time, and he wants to be a head coach someday. So it's my job to coach our team, but also coach our coaches and share what I know. So when this opportunity presented itself to go up a level and still be a coordinator and not that it would have been bad if he's a position coach, but he gets to be a coordinator at the FCS level and a great league. And we talked about all those positives, and we talked a lot about the positives of staying around here, where he's from and his family, and you weigh those pros and cons. But when it came down to it professionally, it was just too good for him to pass up.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen a situation like they're going through right now? They had an OC. He left in conference, I think it was, and then his replacement said, "Never mind, I take it back." You know, have you ever heard of something like that?
Yeah, that was an interesting deal because UND's offensive coordinator left to go to SDSU, mm-hmm. where I used to be.
Right, right.
Where my buddy had just left to go to Northwestern. That's what opened up a spot at SDSU, and ironically, head coach at Northwestern, David Braun, who used to be at Winona State.
Yeah,
so all these connections. But anyways, that opened up the spot at UND. And at UND, they hired the offensive coordinator from St. Thomas, a Division I non-scholarship school in St. Paul. They hired him for a few days, and then he left to go to their bitter rivals, NDSU.
Right.
So then that opened up the spot at UND, and then that's what Coach Frickte got. So the coaching profession is a unique one.
Mm-hmm. So put it lightly, in terms of the on-field product that you're going to miss with Isaac, you know, what does he bring to the table in terms of his just outright football knowledge and the all-encompassing that he has in that brain of his?
Yeah, he's very bright, but being bright doesn't make you a great coach. You got to, one, be able to connect with people, two, be able to teach, and he's able to do those things. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes him. And then he's himself in it. And that's certainly what made it attractive to hire him when we did, and what makes it, you know, attractive for other people to hire mm-hmm. him. So it's one of those things where whenever you hire somebody, though, it's our job to find somebody better. And when you don't have anybody, sometimes that's hard to imagine. But a lot of times looking back, you're like, you know what? This helped us grow. Like, we're better now because of this. We're thankful for that time, but I'm glad we're having this time now. And it's all how you look at it.
Take us through the process a little bit, you know, very early stages, and you've been focusing on National Signing Day, which we'll get to, but sort of take us through what it's going to kind of look like in terms of how you rehire an offensive coordinator.
Well, in today's day and age, everybody knew that he was gone like that day,
right,
because of social media. So it's very public. So many times it doesn't require a bunch of like job postings, maybe like some other careers would. It's just so common knowledge mm-hmm. in the profession right now that this job is open. So there have been a lot of people that have reached out to me, or people on our staff, or people that are close to the program stating their interest. And some of them I don't know, some of them I know, some of them have a lot of experience, some of them don't have any experience, and everything in between. So you try to weigh through some of those and narrow it down from there. You also try to reach out to people in our network that we know, that to gauge their interest. And like you said, to be honest, we've been doing some work behind the scenes, but we haven't been doing a ton actively yet, because our focus has been on signing day yesterday and recruiting, and that had a very specific timeline on it. We still have time before spring football and summer and fall, and that's what I saw as the priority.
We're speaking with Winona State head football coach Brian Bergstrom. I don't mean to overstep here, but when it comes to the video game Madden, I can call a mean offense coach. I can call a mean offense. But in terms of in-house versus out-of-house hiring, you know, where do you sort of weigh the pros and cons of either, and what do you sort of make the decision on? Do you want to go in-house or do you want to go out-of-house? You know, take me through that thought process.
Well, I don't think there's always a specific simple answer, I guess, is how I'll say it. That's always the first place I'll look, you know, because they have been in the system. Like, if you like what's going on as a boss or as a coach for me, and you want to keep consistency, you certainly consider that. And maybe if a staff was dysfunctional or wasn't very good or didn't see progress, they want something totally new, so they wouldn't look at in-house. We're certainly looking at options there, and options of people that run similar systems to what we do. I know that we're not going to take a dramatic departure of kind of our offensive philosophy and how we play complementary football, and we're not going to become something totally different. Because that's part of how we decide who we're going to hire. If that's part of the narrowing process, is they got to kind of believe in what we believe. And then when we hire them, it's my job not to micromanage them. It's my job to put them in a position to be successful.
Sort of let them be free.
Yeah.
You talk about that offensive scheme, and Isaac was always one to sort of talk about his multibility. I don't think that's a word. His
multiplicity.
You know, multiplicity. Thank you. And you know, that's sort of a hard offensive system to run and especially find it. So what are you sort of looking for both on the field and off the field in a potential candidate?
Well, I think when you have a good offensive coordinator, or I would argue a defensive coordinator, it's the same thing on the other side. They have the ability to be multiple by simple adjustments within the system. So if you think of an offensive system, you have to have a way between switching between styles or formations or motion shifts that is allowing yourself to get the ball to your best players, to not try and fit square pegs into round holes, like make the players be something that they're not. That's where teaching comes in, the teaching and the relationship. If you are able to teach that, then you're able to think of like your offensive system as a tool belt with a bunch of tools in it. And each year, each week, you're picking which tools you're taking out. Maybe we didn't go deep into a certain area of our offense last year because we just didn't have the talent in a certain area. So I think the best offensive coordinator, what we're looking for, is one like that, that is multiple and can utilize the strengths of our players.
Speaking of the players, you know, I should have asked this a little earlier, but, you know, what was the reception when you did announce it to the team, and how's the team feeling? How are the players doing with this move? I'm sure they expect it, you know, just like they're going through changes in college football, coaches are too. But, you know, what was the overall sort of mood behind when you announced that Isaac was in fact leaving?
Well, they're 18 to 23 year old human beings with feelings, right? So they're going to, I would say that as a whole, there's a disappointment, you know, just like me. You know, you're a friend is you're not going to see as much, you know, and it's not goodbye. It's just see you later. But I got to be honest with you, the culture of our football team, the strength of our internal leadership, is by far as strong as it's ever been. And even when there's changes on a staff, that has been the most steadying force in my life as the head coach, has been the steadiness of our team. So is there disappointment we're going to miss him? Yeah. Are they happy for him because it's good for his family and his career? Yeah, they are. Do they trust me that we're going to hire somebody great? Yeah, they do. And that, I think, had we gone through some of this maybe if you want to call it adversity, earlier, a year ago, or maybe the team isn't as mature. I think the team is much more mature, and it certainly feels more like our team. You know, we've just been here longer, and I'm more used to being their head coach, and I think I'm more comfortable, they're more comfortable, and they trust us to go make a great hire.
How does that make you feel that you're so confident in your culture just in year three?
Really excited, because to me, that's my primary job, is to develop the culture of the team. It's the player's job to make plays and actually win games by playing football. And it's the coach's position, or it's coach's job to put them in position to do that. And it's my job to coordinate all the coaches. So, but to me, culture isn't some buzzword. Like, a lot of times people will be like, they kind of dismiss it. Like, oh, that's not important. Like, everybody talks about it, but culture is everything. Culture is our existence. It's how we talk to each other, how we treat each other, what's okay, what's not okay. It's the feeling you have when you walk into a locker room or a business or a radio station. Like, every place has its own culture. And when you can create that, I think you drive belief and you drive belief in certain things. And when you get people believing certain ways, you can get them to behave certain ways way easier than trying to get them to behave in ways that they don't believe in. And then when they behave repeatedly over and over and over and over again in positive ways like that, I think you create good habits and you get good outcomes. So, but it starts at the end of the day, it starts with who do we bring into the locker room. That's why recruiting is so important, is because, some of the skills that we're looking for and the talents and the inner traits and their character they're hard to teach. You want to recruit it or hire it if you're in a business. They're hard to teach somebody that.
Speaking of recruiting, this sort of seismic shift you had probably couldn't have come at a worse time. You had National Signing Day 2 weeks later. To get into the recruiting class, you know, how do you feel about it? What were the conversations like when Isaac left with those new incoming players, and just overall feelings of the class that's coming in?
Well, we've had three classes, and I'm confident, and this is nothing against our first two. This is our best one, and I think each one has gotten better, and I think our team would say the same, and it should. We should be better recruiters. We should know how to recruit to Winona State better, and to us, recruiting is investing. It's investing in the lives of the guys we believe in, and then we want them to pick us. We don't want to coerce them into us. We want them to pick us. And we went 28 for 28. And yesterday morning, we anticipated 28 guys signing. And by noon, we had 28. And I believe in honesty. And so what that means is, as soon as it was the news broke that, you know, Coach Fichte was going to go, we immediately told the team so they didn't see it on Twitter. And I immediately, right after we talked to the team, I immediately called all of our committed offensive guys that were committed but not signed yet, and then the guys that we were still waiting on answers, I called and said, hey, I believe in honesty, this is just who we are, and I'm going to let you know of the change, so they didn't feel like we were trying to hide something from you know. And I think in a lot of ways, it's probably, I'd say most people pick Winona State, or probably most colleges, because of the team and the school and the feel and the coaches. Very rarely is it, I'm going there because of that one coach. I don't know that that's a good recipe for anybody. You want to go to a school that you would go to without playing the sport. You'd want to go to a place where you believe in the team and not one person. So, you know, I think surprising to some of them, because they don't understand the business. They're high school kids.
Yeah.
But it didn't change their decision.
Winona State head football coach Brian Bergstrom in studio. Wanted to get into a couple of specific prospects, but before, do you have a favorite prospect, coach? I'm going to put you on the spot.
My favorite is the whole class.
Yeah, there it is. I was sure that one was coming. But I wanted to talk about the transfer quarterback from NDSU, because this is interesting. You always preach competitiveness, coach. You always talk about competition. Competition breeds greatness is one of my favorite lines from you. How do you think he will fit into the mold? Will he compete for the job right away? And what was the conversation like with Cole Stenstrom when you were bringing this guy in.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point that we believe in competition. We believe competition raises the floor and raises the ceiling of that position room. And everybody is more when you feel threatened in a good way or challenged in a good way, you're going to be on point with your performance. And if we can get that everybody doing that from the bottom guy in the depth chart chasing the next guy up to the second on the depth chart chasing the first guy, and the first guy chasing, you know, his best.
Yeah.
And in reality, what we really hope is everyone's chasing their best and not necessarily one person on the depth chart. If you, that goes against human nature kind of settles in if I'm going to do as much as I need to keep the job. And, but you try to provide more than that. But yeah, Peter's going to compete he got here at Christmas time, or a second semester. So, he's been here and has gelled with our team very well. We have a very welcoming locker room from the sense of it doesn't matter if you're a transfer or high school or first year, fifth year, you're going to get treated with respect and we're going to battle each other on the field, but we're going to be brothers off the field. And that's what the best teams do. And we just told Cole, we're going to bring in high school kids and we're probably going to bring in a transfer, and it doesn't change anything with you. And with Cole, it certainly doesn't. Mm. Cole's one of those guys, he could be the only guy in the room, or there could be 10 quarterbacks, and he's going to give the same effort to be his best. So I'm excited. I'm excited for spring because it's going to be great competition.
What are your thoughts in terms of maybe leading to the guy that's returning, just in terms of continuity's sake? You know, is there any thought to... You kind of want to have a guy there that can improve himself year after year and get those reps. Mm-hmm. But if a better guy comes in, then a better guy comes in. You know, there's not much else to say about that. So do you sort of weigh Cole being back a second year a little more than a newcomer?
Well, I think where it comes in is he'll probably start spring ball as the number one, right? So you start in the position. It's like... I'm not a big, you know, car racing guy, but they have the time trials to figure out where they start, right? And if you get the pole position, you're in the first spot. Like, so he can start there. Again, I don't think that affects him very much because he's going to play his best. And Peter's very similar. And we have a number of other good quarterbacks on the roster, too. It's not limited to those two. And so I think at the end of the day, we have to play the best players at quarterback, O-line, kicker, linebacker. It doesn't matter. If somebody's better today, it doesn't matter if the other guy played last year, because today this guy's better. Now, I will say, I think it's a little easier to play your best today having had that experience, because experience is really important. I think we saw that 2 years ago in what our record was and going to the playoffs and win the NSIC South. And then this year, a 500 team and not going to the playoffs. I think a huge part, I would not attribute to a lack of talent or like a downswing in talent. Mm-hmm. We would attribute it to looking back as not as much experience. The guys that were playing in the big games, although very talented, this year didn't have as much experience as the first team when we came in. We had a lot of like fifth year guys, fourth year guys, sixth year guys that had played a lot of football, and that matters. And the ball bounced our way in some of those close games 2 years ago. Sure. It just did. And this year, like Mankato or Moorhead, or like, it just didn't bounce our way. So are we that different of a team? I don't think so. I think we're 100% we're better in our locker room and our culture, and couldn't be more excited.
Talking with Winona State head football coach Brian Bergstrom. The other prospect that I wanted to talk about, and by the way, the transfer quarterback is Peter Anderson from NDSU. But the other kid I wanted to talk about was Jace Keeney, who I've covered time and time, and he pops out. I mean, whether that's the class he plays in or not, he is the one that you look at on the field, and he's got dynamic speed. He's got great hands. What are your expectations for him? And do you expect him to be a big player years to come for Winona State football?
Yes, to all those things. I'm excited about the class, but we got an electric wide receiver class in this 2024 group, and he stands out as somebody that's certainly local. Like, so just the name recognition alone, in this part of the state. And I as well don't care what level he was playing. Like, if you can play, you can play. Mm-hmm. But great length, great speed, really good in track, and a competitor. You see that in basketball.
Yeah, he's like, a heck of a basketball player.
And it's
player
not
too.
Like he's like just, I mean, he's a very good basketball player and scores a ton of points and got his 1,000th point, you know, a couple nights ago. But what I love is just his aggressiveness and slash into the hoop and that side of things. And I love that he's competing all winter long. Mm-hmm. We're always going to start our recruiting at home, so to speak, in Southeast Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to work out from there. So like this year we had 11 Minnesota, 9 Wisconsin, 7 Illinois, 1 Arizona. It's going to start at home. We had a number of people from within an hour of here. So we're excited.
Cool. That's very cool. Last question for you, Coach. Kind of running out of time here. That's all right, though. Sort of looking at the team as a whole and moving away from the recruiting class, you know, including the returning players and the new faces that might get a lot more snaps, rather, you know, what are your expectations February 9th, 2024, a long ways away from the season starting? What are your expectations for spring ball? What are your expectations moving forward into summer ball, fall ball?
Mm-hmm. Well, the easy answer to all of those is grow or get better. And I know that's sometimes like disappointing for people to hear, like, oh, that's not
that coach speak. Yes.
But it's really hard to do, to say I got better in this every single day. Like, you have to, in reality, it's impossible, but you better have that mindset that I'm going to get better and I'm going to do everything I can. Otherwise, you're either going forward or you're going backwards. It's very hard to stay the same. And I think from a holistic perspective in all three of those phases, we got to be better at being us. This has been my message to the team. We pride ourselves on grit, growth, and team. And those aren't just words to us. But we, in our grit, we have to be tougher. And I mean tougher physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. We just have to be more resilient and be able to handle more and push ourselves more. And some of that is just physical strength. And we've made great gains. We're so much further along in the strength and conditioning realm right now. But we have to be a tougher football team, and we got to be more disciplined and have a championship discipline about us, just in terms of how we carry ourselves as competitors, especially on game day, and managing our own thoughts. You know, so, and how do you get better on game day? Well, you got to be better on February 9th. Mm. So we had a workout this morning, and there's going to be some adversity in the workout. How you handle and carry yourself and respond to adversity then matters in August and September, because every day you're trying to get better at that. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, the team, our focus is an investment in peer leadership. I feel like the better the team you are, the less leading or coaching, not that we don't do anything, but that the coaches do. Mm-hmm. And it's more the players, and it's player driven accountability. And I mentioned it earlier, our team by far is in the best spot it's ever been. Especially with like some staff transition, mm-hmm. you know, it can be like rocky waters, but the team is so steady right now because of the peer leadership. Do we have that alpha dog, like a Clay Scheffner, who was like the leader of the team last year? Maybe not. Maybe we don't have that guy that's just leading everybody. But I'll tell you what, we have like 20 people that are becoming like Clay, mm-hmm. that are spread throughout the team. And I'll take that anytime. Mm-hmm. And we'll miss Clay, certainly. Sure. You know, bringing up Clay, we'll miss him on the field and locker room and all that. But he left a legacy in how you lead people and how you don't really care if you say something that's going to, you know, mm-hmm. make him upset for a little bit, mm-hmm. you know. So that's real simply, I'll say it again, coach speak, we got to grow, and we got to be tougher, and we got to be more disciplined, and we got to invest, and all the while master the scheme and like master our job in football, so we can be, that's kind of the no duh, we want to be better at what we do, mm-hmm. and that's why we practice.
Expectations already rising, coach, very excited for spring ball. Before you go, who's winning Sunday? Big game.
My pick is the 49ers.
Whoa, okay. And I'm on the Chiefs, coach.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Now, I don't watch a ton of NFL.
Yeah, you're a busy man.
I'm busy, and but I do enjoy watching good football. And my son is a huge Chiefs fan. So I'm picking the 49ers so we have more fun watching the game. Sure. That's my deep logic there.
I like that a lot. Good competition in the house. Bergstrom, head coach, Winona State football. Thanks again, coach. Appreciate the time. Have a great rest of your day.
You too.